Today on Real Radio.
If I say something this morning that is convicting to you, nobody called me up to tell me that you were going to be here. There's not a preset game plan. It just so happens we are covering portions of Scripture this morning that can apply to all of our lives. And that very conviction is called the Holy Spirit working in your life. And without it, the church would be dead.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Acts. We've been looking at the first 23 verses of chapter 4. Peter and John were arrested and brought before the religious authorities of the day after being used of God to heal a man lame from birth and for continuing to evangelize. Eventually, the disciples were let go, apparently because of pressure from the believing public more than anything else. Well, that's where we pick things up from verse 23 on, where we're told how the people of God reacted to this whole scenario. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Church Jesus Style.
I take the portion of Scripture that we're going through extremely serious this morning. I just want to underline the fact that we're going to get into some stuff this morning that's very, very direct. But it's our heart's desire that this church be patterned after the New Testament example. And that very reason is why we embarked upon the book of Acts. We don't think that this Scripture is for somebody else. We think it's for this church. And so this morning might be extremely unorthodox in what we're going to be going through, but I want you to know it's because it's so close to our heart. We're going to be talking about this morning as we go through our text, the three basic elements that are absolutely essential to a church that's going to survive. And the requirements have never changed. We need to be a church that's in prayer. We need to be a church that's in the Word of God. We need to be a church that is committed to fellowship or unity among the brethren. And as we get into this, we'll see it lived out in the lives of the disciples early on in this brand new church that we see forming in the book of Acts. If I say something this morning that is convicting to you, nobody called me up to tell me that you were going to be here. There's not a preset game plan. It just so happens we are covering portions of Scripture this morning that can apply to all of our lives. And that very conviction is called the Holy Spirit working in your life. And without it, the church would be dead. And so with my heart in my hand, and most of the time, especially as we get to the end of this message, my heart in my mouth, we'll get into this. Jesus told us in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, He said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." And we're seeing the disciples do that, so much so that last week in our study, Peter and John were preaching the Word of God at the beautiful gate there at the temple, and 5,000 converts came in a message that was about probably 45, 50 seconds long. A dynamic outreach. But there was a great result in that as the converts came, it drew the attention of the religious hierarchy. And they came and they grabbed Peter and John and they put them in prison for the night. And then they questioned them the next day. And Peter made a statement that drives people nuts in one direction or drives people to praise and adoration in the other direction. And that is, Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 last week, he told us there that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Jesus Christ. That is the way to heaven. It's one way. And if you think that's narrow, get last week's tape, and it will explain that, why it's so narrow. But Peter, standing before the men who were responsible for crucifying Jesus Christ, Peter stood before those same men and said, "Jesus is the only way." And they didn't like that. They threatened them severely, and then they let them go. And we enter in on our study this morning now, right on the heels of them being released. And so look at it with me, if you would, at the first point, if you're taking notes, in verse 23, and that is prayer that goes in front of the church. Prayer that goes in front of, or prayer that goes before the church. And that's found in verses 23 and 24, and we'll look at it right now together. It says there, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord God,'" or "Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." And that's their prayer. That's how they begin their prayer. And we're going to look at this closely because we need it. Right before you get on a Space Mountain ride at Disneyland, there's a sign, and it says if you're pregnant, which I think half this church now is pregnant. It's amazing. Anyway, there's a sign that says if you're pregnant or if you're suffering from a heart condition, you need to exit at the next outlet. And the fact of the matter is, if you're suffering from a heart condition this morning, our goal is to get it fixed. But as we get into this, this is going to be quite a turbulent ride, and it has a lot of effects of a roller coaster. And I want you to hang on to your seat, because if the Holy Spirit has his way with this message, it's going to purify this body by the time we're done. And the crowd that we have this morning, even in the overflow room this morning, may not be necessary next week. It all depends on what you want to do. The word of God's going to go out, and the people of the kingdom are excited. They're being persecuted for the gospel's sake. They're preaching Jesus. But even in the ranks, whenever God does a work, whenever God is working by his Holy Spirit, rest assured of the fact the enemy will be right in the midst doing a counterwork. You can bank on it. You can look for it. Prayer is that mode of power that doesn't get our will done in heaven. It gets God's will done on earth. Prayer is to bring us under the domain and the rule of God, not to get God to see what we want to do. The church goes to prayer, and they pray. But before this, look what happens in verse 23. Being let go, they went to their own companions. They didn't go to the streets. They didn't go to the convention center. They didn't go to the pub. They didn't go to the happy hour. They went back to their fellowship. They're serious. And they reported all. They didn't leave out any details, by the way, is what that word means in the Greek. They said it all of what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And it wasn't good. They told them, "You mention one more time anything in the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to deal with you big time." And Peter said, "Hey, if it's, you know, you choose. If it's for us to believe or rest in the Lord on this, obey God or man, you'd be the judge, but we're going to preach in the name of the Lord." And he goes back with John and he tells them what's coming down. They report all that had happened. So verse 24 says, "So when they heard that, they all lifted their voice," or raised their voice to God, "and began to cry out, 'Why is this happening to us?'" No. They began to pray and say, "God, get us out of this situation." No. I mean, wouldn't you have prayed that? I would have prayed that. They go to prayer and they say, "Lord, God, you are God." And I want you to get your notepad ready, because this is very unusual what we see here in this portion of Scripture. They prayed, "Lord, you are God. You made." You see that in your Bible? Some very interesting words appear here. First of all, for the word Lord, it's not kurios, which is the normal word for Lord. The word is despotes. It's where we get the word despot. And that word in the Greek means absolute supreme ruler, supreme master, the one, the only. the supreme ruler. They came to him and they said, "Supreme ruler." That's very important. Hang on. "You are God." They didn't use the word Elohim, which is normal. They used the word theos, where we get the word theologian or theology, one who studies God. Theos. The word means the supreme divinity, the one magistrate. Man, they are using superlatives to come before their God. Why? Because the situation's heavy. They open their name and they open their mouth in the name of Jesus Christ again, it's going to cost them their lives. They know that. Very few, or probably none of us, are under that pressure this morning. But they are. And notice how they pray. And I want you to establish this as a pattern for your prayer life. They say here, "Who made?" The word in the Greek is poia. It's where we get the word in the English, poem. You are the one who writes it out. You're the one who creates it. That word actually means in the Greek, the one who makes, the designer, the cause and the effect, the one who ordains, the one who executes or performs. You are the one. Do you get this? People come together, they just got persecuted, they get into a gathering and they say, "God, omnipotent, supreme ruler, magistrate, the one and only designer." Man, that's a way to enter a prayer meeting. Not, "Well, Father, you know, God, I don't know if we can pull this off or not, you know. What are you doing to us? I don't know, you know." Man, these guys come and they say, "God, awesome, omnipotent, man, you're great." And let's remember that the next time we pray. Somebody gives you a bad look or gives you a frown concerning your harvest sticker or your little fish on the back now, you know. "Oh, I've been persecuted." Oh, come on. It's a jungle out there. I'm not going to go anymore. And if this is Christianity, you can forget it. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, there are those who have stony hearts and they receive the word with gladness. Oh boy, all right. They run forward. They're like shooting stars. They just read 25 pages of the Bible per minute. They're up there. They want to get involved. And then 2 weeks later, somebody nails them on it. And they say, "Hey, are you a Christian? Well, this is what I think. And you this." And it says in Mark chapter 4 on the stony heart type of believer that when persecution arises, they give up and they go back. We can't be like that. You got to know why you believe, what you believe. It's very important. And what's going to keep this church in the book of Acts strong and firm to the end, and what's going to make this church strong and firm to the end, is how you address God and how we address God. Did he write the Bible? And then there's people, "Well, I think man wrote it." Read your Bible. You'll find out man didn't write it. God wrote the Bible. Do you know him? Are you praying? We need to know him. You and I need to draw strength from our time of prayer. And when we come in before his presence, we say, "God, creator of the universe." And by the way, people, they're not saying this to remind God of who he is. Look at the verse. It says, "God," or "Lord, you are God." And he goes, "Oh gosh, thanks for reminding me." They're saying this for themselves. Okay, guys, let's take stock. He is Lord God. He's it. Let's remember who we serve. You can almost see, the football coach with a cap in the middle of the huddle saying, "Now let's remember who we're going out there for." And we've all heard that propaganda. You know, I remember, you know, you remember, guys, don't you? In football, you're in there and it's like, "Man, I can't wait till this is over." And the coach tells you, "You know, if you don't win this game, you guys just might, this is what my coach used to say all the time. If you don't win this game, you might as well just wear dresses. If you guys don't win this game, there'll be no use to life." Seriously. And it's like, wow, what's his trip? You know, it's like weird. But man, these guys get together and they say, "Lord God," why? Because it's their life. They are serving an omnipotent, awesome God, not of the White House, not of Sacramento, not of Chino Hill, of the universe. The answer is in his house. It's where he lives. He's the answer. And they know that. And you keep that perspective and you'll be able to live this life with power. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. For those who come to him must believe that he is. And it ends right there. Is what? Is the omnipotent, awesome ruler. When you come before the Lord, do you have that confidence? This is a shot in the faith, I'll tell you. This is good stuff. When we come to God like that. Jesus prayed like that in Matthew 11:25. Jesus, when he prayed, it says, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth. We need to keep that perspective. This church is praying. It's a healthy church. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 5 through 6, they all get together and they all stand up. And it says there in Nehemiah 9 that they bless the Lord God forever and ever. Blessed be the glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. You alone are Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all of their hosts, and he's talking about angels, the earth and everything on it, and the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. And I love this sentence the most. The host of heaven worships you. And I love that. You look at the book of Revelation, and those angels are flying around day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, who is to come forever, Almighty. Forever. That's heaven. We need to get used to doing that. We need to get used to praising him. Prayer will bring our hearts into that place. We don't need to be afraid. These men got railed on by the biggest religious authorities in the world, but yet they knew the heart of God. In Psalm 118, verse 6, and this is for us, Psalm 118, 6, the Bible says, the Lord is on my side. Isn't that awesome? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Do we believe that? Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man is a snare. Isn't that true? The fear of man is a snare. But he who trusts the Lord is safe, or the word shall be liberated. We need to trust in him. We will get called before the councils. We will be rebuked for sharing Jesus Christ. Count on it. But don't be afraid. But Jack, what if I lose my job? Well, first of all, you won't lose your job. You're supposed to work 8 hours a day. Remember that. Christians should never worship. You should always worship. And you should always be in prayer. But you should never witness on the clock. I don't think that's right. Witness at break time. Witness at lunch. But give them their due. You live your responsibility out to your employer. God will bless. But if your boss wants to talk to you and you share the gospel with him and he gets upset and he fires you, you better know this one thing. That God has got a better job for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:8, he said, don't be afraid of their faces. I'm with you. Can you be that bold? Yes. Get your strength and your source of power in prayer. And one last point on this, and we'll go to the second one. But first of all, in this idea, and in this principle of having a church that prays and prayer going before the church, you look at the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and you've got the soldier of God standing there in all of his armor. He's got his sword there, he's got his spear, he's got all of his gear on, and he's ready for battle. And the last thing God tells him is in verse 18, when the guy's all suited up, God says, now Paul speaking, he says, pray always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, be watchful. My goodness, you can have all the armor on in the world. You can have so much on. And you can go forward and you can be so Bible-versed and so this and so that and not be prayed up. And you'll fall flat on your face and your own armor will probably poke you right in the rear end when you get done falling because you're not covered in prayer. We need to pray. The prayer meetings at this church ought to be packed with people who are serious about prayer. I thank God there are some very serious here about prayer. And then one final thing we need to remember is that when God promotes people, he promotes people by avenue of prayer. There's a lot of people here this morning. There's a lot of callings that's upon many lives here. Do you want to be a pastor? Do you want to be an assistant pastor? Do you want to be a worship leader? Do you want to be a missionary? Do you want to be an usher? The only way you'll become those things in this church is the way, the standard that God has created in this body, and that's in the prayer meeting. The leaders are born in this church in prayer meetings. And it's not going to happen any other way. We're not going to hire somebody from the outside unless they have spent time in this body first through prayer. So whatever our goal might be in the ministry, are you involved in prayer? That's where God gives birth to vision. This little church in the book of Acts had a vision because it spent time in prayer. And they had an agenda, which is point 2 in verses 25 to 28. Their agenda was that they wanted to share the word of God because Jesus told them to. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, go in the power of the Holy Spirit. To do what? They knew already, to teach and to preach in the name of the Lord. And so we see in verses 25 to 28, the word of God is behind the church. We have prayer going before the church. We have the word of God behind the church and its message. We need to be so committed to the word of God. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It doesn't matter what your intake, the word of God is above it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Church Jesus Style, a look at the last 15 verses of Acts chapter 4. It's a fascinating narrative that speaks of how the early church just transformed society. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, there is coming up another event wherein we invite you to join us, the Southern California Prophecy Conference. The Southern California Prophecy Conference. It'll be taking place January 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is a little ways away, but you'll know why in a minute. Pastor Jack is with us here, and Pastor Jack, we've had prophecy conferences before, but yeah. So why this one?
This particular conference, as anyone who will look at the website will see the line of speakers, this is different, very different, in that it, of course, takes into account that we believe in the end time teaching of the Bible, the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the second coming when Christ returns, all of these things. But specifically, Mike, it deals with the threat that's at hand right now before us as believers. I think Islam has caught a lot of people off guard.
Okay, how does Islam relate to prophecy?
Islam relates to prophecy, biblical prophecy, in a very interesting way. For one thing, if you look at the teachings of the Quran and the hadiths of Islam, Islam is the forerunner, if you think about it, of replacement theology. Islam says Israel does not belong there in the land.
Yeah.
Islam says Israel's not real. Islam says it wasn't Isaac, it was Ishmael. The whole thought process is the mother of the replacement theology that if you adhere to, you have to neuter your Bible, frankly, of power, and you have to remove the promises of God. You know, the Lord made the covenants with Israel, everlasting covenants. So it is a very, very powerful prophetic threat in these days, because if Satan can get people to think that Israel is not valid, that, as by the way, Mike, he always has tried to do.
That's
with
right.
Pharaoh, with Herod. It has always been the way of the enemy to make null and void Israel, to make null and void the Bible, replace the Bible with the Quran, replace Israel with the Palestinian, replace. And so this is a very critical thing, very, very powerful. And so this conference is going to address that. And this conference, you'll see, will not be afraid to speak the truth in love, but to definitely speak the truth.
All right, so I want to attend the conference. What do I do?
Go to the website, SoCalProphecyConference.com, and get your ticket for this event.
All right, that's SoCalProphecyConference.com, www.SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.